Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:18 Pacific Standard Time, and today is December 3rd. Well, today you had the S&P up a bit, but up enough to hit a new all-time high. The same with the Dow Industrials. Well, the Nasdaq hasn't quite done that yet, but it's still really very steady. In other major news in stock markets, well, the majority of Europe was in positive territory. Well, particularly both Spain and Italy, and well, the Swedish market, where you've had this weak currency, well, the market has been was up by another 1%. Well, the FTSE was a little bit easier. Well, it was down heavy on Monday, up strongly yesterday, and well, eased a little bit in here today. So, well, you're getting a little bit of backing and filling in the region of the, well, just below the highs. When you look at Asia, well, China has been just such a spectacular outperformer, but well, it's looking a little bit tired that you've had these upside, well, tails, that it's gone up intraday and hasn't been able to hold those advances, but that, well, realistically, this is a very powerful breakout, that we are potentially at the dawn of a new medium-term bull market in China. It's looking increasingly likely that that is the case, but even in a very bullish scenario, that there is room for some consolidation following what has been a particularly strong period. Well, I probably sold my position a little bit too early, but I'll be looking for any sign of weakness to re-establish it. Then in Japan, you had the market up about 0.33%. What you see there is that the yen has been really quite weak, and it was weaker again in here today. Well, you have a little bit of a pause for the yen in the region of 120. Well, 6 months ago, when you asked somebody, well, where do you think the yen might weaken to? Well, 120 would have been that first area of potential support. And, well, we're there right now, so it wouldn't be that surprising if we see a little bit of consolidation in this area, but that, well, the Japanese are fully intent on weakening the yen further. And, well, you get a real idea of just how strong the yen has been when you look at the really long-term chart. Well, that really does also show just how much further the yen can weaken, that 120 is only what you might consider to be a short to potentially medium-term area of support, but that there is, well, the door is wide open to additional weakness for Japan, well, for the yen. Well, if you're looking at that on a hedged basis, that with this weakening currency, that Japan's substantial export sector will, well, I guess another way of looking at it is that quantitative easing has been enormously successful at inflating asset prices, and Japan is going along the quantitative easing route with gusto. So the potential for additional asset price inflation in Japan is really quite bullish. Well, in India, the market has also been on this really very impressive rally. Well, of course, the rupee has been pretty steady. What is, well, when you look at the performance of various indices over the last year, and then you look at their currency performance, or you rebase the whole lot to a common currency, what you see is that, well, Japan is up about 8.7%, but on in US dollar terms, it's down 4%. Well, the Australian market is down 0.5%, but in US dollars, it's down 6%. Well, Hong Kong is pegged to the dollar, so it's up about 0.5%. Well, the euro has been among the weakest currencies in the world, and it moved to a new low in here today. Well, when you look at, for example, the Spanish market, it's up about 9.6% on the year, but down 1.7% in US dollar terms. Well, that then gives the US that, well, on a constant currency basis, the fact that the S&P is up 12%, the Nasdaq composite up 14%, well, on a constant currency basis, that puts it into the same realm as both China and India. The rupee has been pretty steady since this time last year. Well, the appointment of Mr. Rajan as the governor of the RBI has been really quite positive for the rupee, and of course, Narendra Modi's landslide victory in the election was additionally bullish. Well, the comparative resilience of the rupee, it really is a testament to their success. And well, we can measure just how successful they are by the ability of the currency to hold its value. Well, with the euro moving to a new low in here today, well, if one were hedging exposure to Japan because of the potential weakness of the yen, well, you'd have to be thinking along the same lines for Europe, that the ECB needs a weaker currency, that if growth is going to be reignited in the periphery of Europe, then they really do need a weaker currency, that if the ECB is going to increase the supply of money by 50% or €1 trillion, well, that is going to reduce the value of the euro. Well, if people were looking at 120 as a potential area of support for the yen, you'd have to be thinking that 120 for the euro is equally an area of potential support, but that we're at, it was down 72 ticks today, we're at 123.11, and well, it's breaking down from this little short-term range, you would have to think that it's potentially going to go lower. Well, some might think that the weakness that we're getting in the oil price is potentially deflationary. Well, I'd argue that it is probably more correct to think of it as disinflationary, that we've had this incredible energy price inflation over the last decade, and that is now at least being unwound partially. Well, if you look at Brent crude, we haven't had a rally of more than $5. Well, that's important because we haven't had a rally of more than about $5 in about 6 months. That if you had a short position and you had a stop of greater than $5, then you'd still be in it. Well, Brent crude was a little bit weaker in here today, WTI was a little bit firmer, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion, that we're going to need more before you could really conclude that this overextended downtrend, at least in the short term, is in a reversionary type, that there's a reversionary rally unfolding right now. Well, you'd say that when it has had this very deep pullback, that you have this short-term overbought condition, that the likelihood of at least a short-covering rally has increased, but that there hasn't yet been any follow-through. And you really do need some follow-through on last week's upward dynamic to really indicate that some of the shorts are being put under pressure. Well, while we had these deep oversold conditions in gold and silver and copper and oil, that the more impressive rallies have been in the precious metals. And that is where gold, despite the dollar strength in here today, the dollar was stronger not just against the euro, but against the Australian dollar, against a number of the Asian currencies. Well, what you're seeing is that gold was stronger by $12. It's back above $1,200 again. Silver was relatively unchanged. Platinum was up by $8. But copper was down too. That, again, copper and oil, they had these dynamics, they had upper dynamics last week, but no additional follow-through. That you see copper is still trading at $2.87, that $3 area, which had been a reasonably important low for much of the last 18 months, has not held. And, well, we haven't seen a failed downside break yet, that this really could be just a first step below what was a very large Type 3 top. Well, from a mining perspective, the fact that you have lower energy prices, well, that's going to sustain some of the marginal producers a bit longer. That since energy represents such a large part of the cost base for any kind of mining operation, that lower energy prices will allow them to persist for a while longer. It's going to take longer for some of that supply to be taken out of the market and help to support prices once more. So, well, this is it's certainly an interesting time in the mining sector, but that it's probably still a time to that warrants caution. Well, what you'd be looking for, or at least what I'm looking for, is signs of relative strength. That you'd be looking for something that is not making new lows, that actually did not make new lows last week, but that has a progression of higher reaction lows. Well, in very simple terms, that would tell you that something that has those higher reaction lows is not susceptible to the same sort of downward pressure that much of the rest of the sector has experienced. Well, In some cases, what you're seeing is in some of the smaller miners that are not particularly exposed to either the precious metals or iron ore or energy, have that relative strength. But do they have the really bullish story to drive the price additionally higher in the short term? Well, that's probably a little bit questionable at this stage. Well, when we look at this a little bit more broadly, then the bull market, that this rebound that we've had since October on Wall Street is still very much intact, that the consolidation we've had to date has been very, very shallow, and well, nobody has experienced any kind of profit erosion. And when we look at China and Japan and Europe, that there is no shortage of central banks printing money, and a lot of that money is chasing some of the stronger currencies, so that helps to explain the relative strength of Wall Street, China, India, and Japan on a hedged basis, but you wouldn't be going there for capital, for currency appreciation. Well, I think with that, I'll leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.